This morning, as I said a little bit earlier, that McKenna called a little early, so I didn't get a chance to go through as much as I had prepared or wanted to prepare for. That was supposed to be my job this week, for finding more scriptures to present to you this morning. But the one I did find, God laid on my heart early this morning, and this is from the book of John, and it's chapter 13, and it goes like this. This is the 31st verse. And when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, then God will also glorify himself, and glorify himself at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I shall also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. But also you are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." A funny thing happened on the way to the pulpit this last week. It seems that I had what I thought was a terrific idea for a message. And I had already titled it, calling Hanging by a Thread. But it appears to have come unraveled at the seams. The more I worked on it, the more I became certain that God wanted me to say something, but I wasn't quite sure, and I wasn't for certain how I had written it the first time, that's really what he wanted me to say. I thought maybe it was something that Tom was going to present. So you can kind of safely assume that even though I knew my text very, very well, I was still going to talk about threads and our fabric today. But what you're going to hear now is a little bit more important, because I stopped and let God take over. And I want to see how much God wants us to become a beautiful tapestry, and how many glorious colors and characteristics we have in our fibers, in our threads. But before we can visualize our tapestry, we need to kind of break it down just a little bit. We have to consider the construction of all of the integral pieces of our quilt, we'll say. Let's start with just simple thread. Now, since the old commercial told us that cotton is the fabric of our lives, we're all going to be cotton today, every last one of us. We're all going to be cotton. Okay? It's durable, it's reasonably strong, and it's easy to accept colors when it's dyed. And I want you to think about what color you are going to be today. I want you to imagine that there'll be many, many different individual colors and threads. But even though we are a singular thread, full of confidence, and we have a strength of our own individual character, we can still be broken and find times when we're frayed by the constant chafing through our life situations that happen to us. Many times we're too easily overcome with the continuous bombardments of TV and social media, and we find it difficult to stay positive with all of the negative energy and the negative words that come out of those sources, and maybe some of the overblown or out of proportion stories that we hear. So let's consider what happens to that thread when it becomes chafed and worn. It seems as I increase in my years and my girth, that the threads that hold the buttons on my shirt somehow become very, very weak. I have yet to figure this out. They usually choose to become separated from my shirts about the time I'm in a hurry to put one on and get out the door to something. And it's like I say, so how do we fix the thread that's been weakened, right? If you're like me, you take a long strand of thread and you wrap it a gazillion times around that button, it is not going to come off there. In fact, you probably can't even see the button because there's so many strands of threads wrapped around that, just one single thread. But if you're a seamstress or someone who really knows what they're doing when they're sewing buttons on, they'll take that same thread and they'll double it, and then they'll triple it, and then they'll come and give it a couple of twists, and then they'll sew all of those together, not nearly so many strands around the button, but they're just as equally as strong, and they hold that button in place. You can see my analogy here. Strength comes in adding more fibers and more character to support the wayward button. So let's consider the color now of the individual fibers. A few days ago, Jeannie, my wife, or Mima, as we call her at home, was talking to Brendan, and he was telling her all about what color would go together with what color to make another color. And he had it perfect. I was totally amazed. She would say, all right, if I put this color and this color together, what's the result? And he could tell her. But aren't we like that? Aren't we the primary colors, you and I, that come together in his presence and add the color to God's work and his handiwork? Many of you know that climbing ropes come in different colors and different thicknesses. And in some cases, that rope and the color of that rope determines the strength factor and how much it will sustain. It can also be the indicator of thickness. So a smaller rope, even though it will sustain less, would be easily recognized as the backpacker or the climber says, oh, I need this color rope because this, I have my faith that this is the right color. This will hold 2,000 pounds or whatever it may be. In 1985, Grand Coulee Dam put out a call for a rubber products expert. This person needed to have an extensive knowledge on sealing and weathering characteristics of different types of rubber. They had a long piece of extruded rubber that went over the face of the dam, and it evidently was showing some signs of wear and failure. For those of you who don't know what extruded rubber is, let me tell you a little bit about it. It is rubber that is liquefied, a certain compound that is liquefied, and then it's pressed through a steel mold that has a specific shape made into that steel mold. So maybe it's a circle or a square, or it's got a slot in it, or some special characteristic. So as the rubber pushes through, the molten rubber pushes through this steel mold, there's a fast cooling machine on the other side that freezes it, or nearly freezes it, at probably 20 below zero. That allows this piece of rubber to be one long, solid piece of rubber with no seams, but maintain whatever that shape was that they gave it. So, there was no real way to get an accurate picture of what this piece of rubber looked like, so somebody had to be called in and brought in, and then they were going to take them out onto the dam site to show them where it was at. So as the expert was taken across the top of the dam, the fellow that was taking him out there basically had a little casual conversation, and he asked him, he says, are you afraid of heights? And the expert looked down over the edge. He says, oh, if you're talking about looking down there and seeing the water 500 feet below me, no. He says, it doesn't bother me any. I'm safe up here. So his fellow just smiled and said, well, good. When he arrived at the other side of the dam, on the other side of the river, two or three more maintenance workers showed up. And they all got into this little tram together. And now I'll back up just a moment and say that if you look at a picture of Grand Coulee Dam today, you'll see this beautiful, long, looks like it's 30, 40, 50 feet long tram with bench seating inside of it, and it goes down on the face of the dam, and so that you can actually ride it down and look at how the dam was constructed and so on. In those days, this tram was not much more than a simple window washer's tram. It had two cables on the side that lowered it down on kind of a track type affair. And that's how they got down to inspect the lower areas of the dam, make sure there were no leaks or weak spots. Okay. So as our expert got there, let me see if I can find my place here, I'm sorry. The failing seal, they stopped about halfway down. They went down the tram, they stopped about halfway down, and the window was open on the front side of the carriage. And so he was looking directly straight down at the river below, about 200 feet. Out comes a climbing harness and a piece of rope from a box. That was my first experience with a lifeline. I was the expert that they called to go down and stand on the front of that dam and look at that. When I got there, it was 3 feet wide at a very precarious angle, the little area that I was perched on, and I had to go out of the window and down 20 feet and hang below the tram onto the face of the dam. So, very frightening. Threads, right? Threads are woven together for strength and beauty and functionality. Let's visit for a minute about the threads within Altoona Christian Church. Our job here is to bind with one another. You know, this not only applies to our pastor or to Scott or Becky or Judy, all of the people involved in the leadership roles, even myself, but it means that we bind with one another, all of us equally. We depend on your strength, your character, your holding us in your prayers and thoughts to function here in this church. You know, the color of your individual thread is what adds to the tapestry that we're building here at Altoona Christian Church. So now as we build our quilt, how many seamstresses are in the office, or in the office, or here in our congregation today? Who sews? And we've got a few. All right. My mind thinks about our 150th celebration, and Georgia has asked some folks to help building a quilt. This is a plug for your program, Georgia, by the way. Many, many pieces of fabric are going to be cut, and many pieces of thread are going to be used to sew all of these beautiful pieces together to make something absolutely glorious. But these pieces of fabric represent not only the people and the changes within our church family, but these are also the wonderful people who have come before us and shared their love and their time and their talents. And then to us, we get to be a piece of that fabric and that history as things go as well. They're all important. They all hold special places. So let's consider a minute or two about how our threads and how our quilt actually becomes the warmth of the coverlet that we put on us in the middle of the winter. We're wrapped up with around something with a fire going and it's 40 degrees and the wind's blowing outside. I'm sure you can easily imagine yourself sitting in a chair all wrapped up and letting the world kind of go by, right? But each one of these smaller pieces of fabric are carefully arranged and they're sewn together so that each block, and correct me ladies if I'm wrong, I think it's called a quilt block, all comes together. And our committees here at this church are like those quilt blocks. You know, the outreach ministries, the missions, even the property committee is considered one of those integral pieces of our church. When the people who are on these committees are like individual colored pieces of fabrics or threads, each of us is different and we all have our own special talents. We need individually to give of our talents and our time and our energies to make that block stand out and pop right out so the colors are vibrant. I guess what I'm trying to say here is that each one of us comes from a different background. We all have different life experiences as the challenges of life have come to us. And I think that we have to remember that God is the master quilter in this program. He knows who he's going to call to fill each one of those positions along the way. Like I've mentioned before, sometimes I have to be led kicking and screaming all the way because I don't want to fill that position, or I've got too many things that are going on in my life at home that I don't want to take that extra just few minutes and give a little bit of my own time. But sometimes we have that situation where we are sitting there and somebody says on a committee, says, you know, we did that 20 years ago. It didn't work then and it probably won't work now. Or maybe what about the person who says, you know, that's a brand new idea from somebody who's way younger than we are. How will it ever work? We don't know until we try. But since God is the master quilter, he knows he's calling whom to fit into those positions. I've got a favorite shirt in my closet. I bought it, and it fit perfectly the first time. It was like having a 20-year-old shirt you put on. It's just comfortable, and it's got all the right feel and look to it. I went out to dinner one evening. I came home. I was standing in front of the mirror, and here, right in the middle, is a flaw. And it's as big as your sore thumb out there. You can't miss it. And I thought, I bought this. I can't return it. So what do I do about flaws in my quilt? What about? Maybe there's a way that we can turn the fabrics in a little bit different way or bring some colors out and lessen how that flaw works. Unfortunately for my shirt, it's too late. It's become a work shirt. But we have threads of many colors. You know, I'm very glad that lifeline held me above the river at 200 feet. I was glad that it didn't have a flaw, it didn't unravel. It was a pretty scary thing when he told me, oh, it'll hold 2,000 pounds, and you know, I only weighed probably about 205 back in those days, but it still was that let myself out there and I hope it doesn't come down, or I hope the cables don't break, or all of those things went through my mind rather than, well, I'm looking at this piece of rubber here and yeah, okay. In Revelation 3, verses 15 and 16, God says, I know your works. You are neither hot or cold. Would that you rather be hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. In other words, God doesn't want the guy who comes in and says, I punched my time clock this week. I'm here. I sat in church. I didn't get anything out of it. It's okay. But I'll go home and I'll come back next week and I'll sit exactly in the same place and I'll punch my time clock then. That's not what God's looking for. He would rather you say, I don't want anything to do with it, or he would rather you say, I want everything to do with it. I want to become involved, even if it's in some little small way. I want to give back just a piece of what I do that I can do and lend my colors. Here's another quick image for you. Imagine our beautiful quilt. It's all made. It's vibrant in its colors. It's beautiful. It's got wonderful character. And you can think of complacency in our church of just like throwing it into muddy water in a wash machine. What's that going to do to the fabric? It's going to take away from the color. It's going to take away from the strength. We need each other around us to add strength to our and color to our quilt. I struggled for a while to try to find a way to bring this message to a close so that I don't bore you to tears. But I guess what I really was getting to was I wanted so much to paint a bright, beautiful picture of what we have here in this church. You know, we have a beautiful quilt right here started, 150-year heritage. It's just like those quilts that I saw just a week ago at the Iowa State Fair. Some of those absolutely just took your breath away. Those people put so much love and talent into those. Each one of them, like I say, was a picture of love and artwork. But I see you and I as God's fabric and God's thread. I want so much for us to be the absolute best and brightest color and the strongest material for God to be able to use. So I ask that you join Pastor McKenna and join the elders and join the staff members who are on our committees. But while you're doing that, remember that each one of you are pastors in your own right. When you leave this building and you go out, this is your way to minister to your friends, your coworkers, your family. Let's go from here fully renewed and full of vibrancy and energy and our clarity of purpose. Remember, we were chosen long before we were ever born to be God's fabric and God's